The episode you're about to listen to is a special edition of The Startup Show, recorded during Grit Daily's live event at South by Southwest. Here we have an expansive range of topics and featured experts from various industries. Enjoy.
I'm here today with Lamar Houston, entrepreneur, co-founder, president of BoxTech. That's BoxTech.io. Welcome, Lamar.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Paul.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, let's get right into it. You build BoxTech as, and I'm quoting this, the world's first verification vending machine, starting with real-time age verification. What does that actually mean? Tell us a little bit about BoxTech, how it's used, where the idea come from. What drove you to do this as a company and as a co-founder?
Yes, me and my co-founder came up with this idea back in 2020, where we wanted to verify age in real time to allow people to buy age-restricted products from a vending machine. We started out by searching and researching what automated vending machine was, or an intelligent vending machine, they call them. We found a product that was refurbished. We did a 5-state pilot, and it was very wonky for us. We got a lot of complaints. We got a lot of pushbacks. The whole process and shop experience wasn't what we designed. It was something that we were trying to put out there and see if people really wanted it.
Right. People don't like that kludgy experience, do they?
No, they don't. Anything clunky is just, it's got to be smoothless and frictionless. So with that idea in mind, after our pilot, we culminated all the quantitative and qualitative data that we found, and we came out with a truly automated, full self-serve experience that comes from our box.
That's amazing. So how far along are you? How many units do you have in production? What stage is both the hardware and the company sitting at today?
Yeah, we are an early stage startup. We're in our seed stage. We are a little bit past POC. We're actually in the market with our go-to-market strategy, having our full production unit out, which we have 6 units of right now. We have 3 customers that we already have placed.
Fantastic. It's great to find that product market fit as soon as you can. Then start really honing it and developing your story around the hardware and the software. Hardware and software are both hard. I've been in that business for a long time. Understand where you are.
Yes.
It's a fantastic place to be. I think we're going to see more and more of the marriage of those two as human beings are able to interact with hardware in this way. And it feels more human. It feels easier. It's things that just make folks' lives easier across the board. So what's next? I mean, you've done a lot so far. I'm assuming you're raising a round. You're a co-founder. You know, I know right kind of where you are.
Yeah.
What's the next ramp up?
So we're in our seed stage. I think we're actually going to close our round in this month, which is fortunate for us in this climate and environment. But the next thing for us is to get our first few customers out the door and rolling, and then to start scaling up from there and expanding. So we're going to drop and expand in a few companies that have a lot of branches underneath them, and then to continue to grow across the country and in Canada.
That's really nice. I think if you keep focused, you know, early stage for where you are, U.S. is a big market. You've got a large market just north of us. You've got a large market just south of us as well. Yes. And I think trying to keep it focused, don't too much too fast, is really a road to success. It shows focus to investors and to community that you're not trying to be all things to all people. You can scale later. You can scale when you get onto that A round, when you really, really dial in, not just the product market fit, but you show that revenue. Look,
yes.
I'm a big believer as both a technologist and an investor, revenue cures all ills.
Yes,
it is the
true.
Best way to go. Now, we look at the company and, you know, we've met over the years as you've been part of this journey as a Techstars company executive myself, as a folks, someone who's worked with Techstars for years. I've been a mentor of Techstars for 13 years.
That's amazing.
I've seen a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff
That's
under the bridge.
That's a testament to the program.
It absolutely is.
That like that.
As a, you know, a co-founder back in the day with my wife, there was no Techstars. There was no accelerator.
Yeah.
There was no help. We made every mistake you can possibly make. You went through Techstars 2022. How was it for you? How was the Techstars experience, the accelerator experience? Was it good? You know, I don't want to be presumptuous, but tell everybody a little bit about that because it's kind of mysterious to a lot of folks.
I think the accelerator for me was amazing. The time I got enrolled into the Techstars Techstars company accelerator was right after business school, so I was able to marry up some of that, you know, academic business term with some of the more fluent business terms as far as conversation and elevator pitches. So, you know, Techstars really taught me how to talk about my business in any short stint, whether that's 5 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes, but really make it something that's digestible for investors, but also consumers, and it's attractable for them to want to be enticed to invest.
Absolutely. I think it's something we try in Techstars and in other places. We try to get it through to founders and co-founders. It's all about the story. Folks can make technology. That's, you know, relatively hard, but relatively not.
Yeah.
It's all about the story. And all you're trying to get to are those three magic words. Tell me more.
Yes.
And that's it. How has the experience for you with Techstars and the ecosystem, how has it been for you to have that kind of mentor system around you and folks you can call on and really bounce things off of and folks that'll tell you things, something's a completely stupid idea. Yes. This is the greatest thing ever.
I think that's like one of the biggest things from Techstars is when they have mentor madness and you get to sit down with like 60 different mentors and you're just talking and talking and talking and talking. And you know, one thing for Lauren and I at BoxTech was interesting is, you know, after most of our mentor madness days, when we went back with our cohort, you know, the other founders were frustrated. It can be frustrating hearing people talk about your business who don't know much about the industry and, you know, make these presumptions that you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, you should clean this up. It can be a little frustrating. So when Lauren and I got back to most of our cohort sessions, it was cool because everybody was complaining, but we were like, well, all we heard was good feedback, so we didn't know how to take it.
Well, it's interesting when you're in a cohort and you see each other all the time. Sometimes you see each other every day and you hear each other's pitches over and over and over, and everyone wants to pat each other on the back and, you know, it's great and how great it sounded. And then you have a few key mentors come in and listen to the same pitch and you don't get the same reaction.
Yeah.
But you start with the pitch early on, you know, in the cohort, in the class, and what you start with and what you come out with is generally night and day, and it's because of those interactions.
That's true. I mean, we're even able to rebrand ourselves through that experience because we came in as Easy Vending, and then we left as BoxTech. You know, it's a completely different name.
It is. I think the TAM, the addressable market for BoxTech versus Solo on Vending is so much larger. It's a great time to be doing it. It's a great time to have already figured it out. There's a chasm of time between 2022 and now. You know, from all the indicators, SaaS winter is over. So this is great. We can see here at South by Southwest, things are just going nuts. It's back in swing.
Yes.
Let's talk about something that's a little bit different, but I think there's a great tie-in. So as many folks know, you're a former NFL football player. Yes. 8 years as an outside linebacker, defensive end, Oakland Raider, as well as a Chicago Bear, retired from Oakland. How did that experience prepare you for what you're doing today as an entrepreneur, as a founder, as a business person? A lot of teamwork, a lot of guts. It takes a lot of those same things, I think, to be an entrepreneur. How did that experience shape what you're doing today?
Well, it's awesome, Paul. You know, honestly, a lot of people don't know this, but when you're in the NFL, you get opportunities to go to several different business schools and do a lot of boot camps. I attended about 5 or so. So I did Stanford, Notre Dame, Miami, Michigan School of Ross. And I think I went to one other place while I was there. But at each one of those places, there were different topics, small business, finance, franchising, you know, anything you want to learn about, you had an opportunity to take advantage of those courses. And I was able to do that while I was playing. And at one of those boot camps, I met a mentor who is an angel investor who was on the Bands of Angels in San Francisco, on the Bands of 300, and then also on the board of Angels for Notre Dame. So him becoming an actual lifelong mentor of mine really got me interested in venture capital, but I've always kind of had an entrepreneurial spirit. So mixing both of those and then being able to go through the NFL and seeing that the NFL is a business and it's a well-ran business that has been in operations for over 100 years and they've never had any downturns. So, you know, you see how they operate their business from a football standpoint and as well as their business side, which is their front office, ticket sales, media, and all that other stuff, and how they marry the two if you're able to, you know, kind of pay attention to some of that, you can pull away with some good notes.
That's great. It's such a machine. Like me, I think there are a lot of folks that don't know that those kind of opportunities exist. Yeah. It's great that you latched on to them and ran with them. Let that one go. Man, it's such a great series of opportunities. So as a member of the NFL, you're kind of like your own business, aren't you?
I mean,
even though you're part of a well-oiled machine and a team, you're in the business of the Lamar Houston business. Is that right?
Correct. You're a single entity that works with a larger corporation because, you know, no one's going to tell Lamar that I need a chiropractor. No one's going to tell me I need a nutritionist. No one's going to tell me who my strength coach should be. No one's going to tell me, you know, what times I should be training, what time I should be getting massages, what time I should be going to, you know, study film. I have to set those schedules out and I have to build them with the heads of those different businesses. So if I'm working with the head nutritionist, either the head strength coach at a gym, or I'm working with the head massage therapist at a physical therapy place, but those are all people that are working with me to make my business run better so that I can perform inside this other large corporation. But you are yourself a company who's then in turn, you know, meeting with several other companies to have one goal, and that's to put out a good product.
That's it's so complicated, but you make it seem so easy. You know, it's strategic subunits within a larger organization that have to work together towards a simple but highly complicated outcome.
Yes.
Then you add the fans in the mix. You add sponsors in the mix.
Yes.
You add time zones in the mix. You add so many things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
And all of you are working in concert to make this one thing happen each week at a particular place at a particular time. Is that pretty accurate?
That is accurate.
Holy smokes. That's really, really cool. Let's talk about BoxTech a little bit more. BoxTech uses AI to make things work in real time. Super cool. People don't want to wait, especially in the areas that you're focused on. If you think of just the adult beverage space, tell us about how AI plays a role for you folks and where do you see it going? How do you see yourselves capitalizing it into the future?
Yeah, we use it to verify age and validate age under 5 seconds, doing a few different things with facial recognition and age estimation, leveraging some of those in our tech stack. But as well as we believe that AI can help us, you know, make the data and quantify the data that we get transactionally more efficient, and push us a couple outputs around demographic, price, geographic, and how things are selling and what's being sold. The future of AI is very prevalent and very strong. We always want to use it in a responsible way to leverage it to make our technology better, but not own our technology. We want it to empower our consumers to have more throughput and efficiencies that they don't have right now.
That's great. Empower companies, empower people, but don't be creepy.
No.
I think that's sort of the watchword around AI these days. My company, Redis, powers a lot of the things people use every day and make them work in real time. And, you know, when you're a plumber like us, you're not really seeing that high-touch interaction, but it's the thing that we keep an eye on. It's one of those kind of, you know, moral founder dilemmas in your case, you know, looking at what's happening in the market and knowing for good or for bad, you know, we're a part of what's going on. And
it's
It takes folks like you and like me that have that moral compass to use these technologies for the right reason in the right place at the right time. Where do you see it going? I mean, there's a lot of speculation. AI, you know, is this a fad? Is it a tool? What do you think? I mean, you've been in business for quite a while. You've had a lot of experience. You're a founder. You've raised some money. You've done a lot of things. You've got a lot going on between hardware and software. Where do you think this is going?
I think AI is the tool that gives us the freedom to explore more as humans. It shortens the lifespan of tedious jobs that we all know anyone could do to now create jobs that we only dreamed of things people could do. You know, and we have to free ourselves to be able to reach that new level of I guess you call it evolution. You know, how do we live in space? How do we orbit the Earth? Like, someone's got to figure that out. And if we're all just frying fries and flipping burgers, how do we ever get there?
That's so true. I think, you know, it's people talk about the big dilemma around AI taking jobs away. And, you know, I think we're going to become otherly enabled.
Yeah.
It's not, it's taking the mundane things, the things we don't necessarily want to do, and creating new opportunities for so many people to just get involved.
It's like, why do you want somebody to be at a beer chest? Why can't they be working over in the front office doing innovative sales with something else?
You know, exactly.
creating another job, another opportunity for someone, as opposed to, hey, I'm over here with the beer chest. Like, yeah,
that's true. You know,
you
some
could
of
be
the,
doing something more with yourself.
Some of the best salespeople I've ever met, and I've met a bunch of people, are bartenders.
Yeah.
You know, and I've brought a bunch of folks over from that world into the tech world with me along the way, and this is stuff that I've done in the past. And they're absolutely the best salespeople that you can get, because they're so good at looking folks in the eye, understanding what they want, and mm-hmm. delivering what they want and what they need, and maybe something else.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fantastic time and place to be. Well, I think that's going to wrap things up for us here at the AI Day at the Lively and Grit Daily House here at South by Southwest 2024. Lamar, thank you so much for being with us. Everyone, again, this is Lamar Houston, entrepreneur, co-founder, and president of Box Tech. That's BOXTECH.io. Lamar, thanks again, and have a great South by.
Thank you for having me, Paul. Have fun.